Alright, guys. Sorry about that. Pause for a liquid refreshment. We are back. Devheads and Huddlestoners unite. We are today doing Johnny Depp in a movie from...
You just always wanted to say that.
Oh, yes. Too bad. Anyway, we're doing The Ninth Gate from 1999. Very weird movie. I'm Jennifer. I got my partner here, Barry.
This is actually one of my all-time favorite Johnny Depp movies.
It's intense.
Yeah, it's one of... I'd say it's one of my three or four favorite Johnny Depp films.
Basically, Johnny Depp plays a very unscrupulous rare book stealer. He gets hired to authenticate a book that was supposedly co-written by Satan himself. There's riddles and clues inside the book. There are 9 images in the book. Each of the 9 represent a gate. There were 3 books that supposedly survived the purge when in 1766, the author, as well as his books, were burned at the stake. So Johnny Depp is supposed to take this copy and decide which one, if any of the 3 books still remaining, is actually authentic. And of course, mayhem ensues. He's chased, he's shot at, somebody tries to run him over with a car. He meets a mysterious woman who won't even tell him her name. Just various weird shit happens. The owners of the other 2 books get murdered and it's pinned on him. But throughout the movie, the more you get to know his character, Corso, the more you like him, the more you start feeling sympathetic towards him. But
yeah.
In the beginning, you will not like him. I'm telling you right now, in the beginning, you will be like, really? Okay, I could watch this movie because he looks good, but yeah, I really don't like this guy.
It's very much a gothic horror story, horror film.
Before we go any further, just a disclaimer, guys. Everything in this movie is fictional. The book is fictional. The author is fictional. It is all the writer's imagination. None of it has any basis in fact. I get asked that question time and time again, so I wanted to make that perfectly clear. No historical significance whatsoever. This book never existed except in the mind of the writer of the movie, and neither did the author.
Gotcha. It's very much a gothic horror film. So it's got, you know, a slow building up of suspense. It's got, you know, kind of gothic settings
it's
here and there.
Definitely noir.
Yeah.
Definitely drama noir.
It's got, we got the classic ambiguous ending. That's very much a part of it.
Luckily, I came across just a couple of really good interviews with, can't think of his name right now.
The director?
Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
That's it. And Roman Polanski, his claim to fame was Rosemary's Baby.
Yes.
So that movie terrified me when I was a kid.
And he was the husband of Sharon Tate.
When
she was murdered by the Manson family.
It's really kind of funny you bring that up. In one of the scenes, the mysterious woman that Corso runs into is reading how to make friends and influence people, which was Manson's go-to.
Huh.
That was the book that Manson swore by.
Okay.
He carried it with him everywhere. He really put a lot of faith in that book.
Right.
So it's really odd that you would, that all of that would come up together.
Huh,
so.
Yeah. In general, I'm a fan of Polanski's filmmaking. I think, you know, this is very much a Polanski film. It's a very good movie. Johnny Depp, I think, gives a great performance in it. I like the accent that he affects in the film.
I want to know. There's certain scenes I want to know how he kept a straight face. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would either be rolling my eyes or I would be rolling on the floor laughing with some of the lines that come out of these actors' mouths. It's just, it's not supposed to be funny, but it hits in such a way that you're like, wow, I can't even believe that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a certain amount of, you know, scenery chewing that always happens in these kind of films,
and
you know?
I'm trying to think of the term. It's a situation, the way the lines come out, this would never happen in real life. I'm trying to think of the term for that with movies, but...
Well, you know, and Frank Langella is in this movie as well.
Yes, he is. Another extraordinary actor.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. He played Dracula in like the 1979 version. I remember seeing that in the theater.
Wow.
My mom was.
You were what, four?
I was seven. Yeah. I was born in 1972.
So, yeah, I was born
yeah.
in
74. Yeah. So yeah, I was seven, and my parents always took me to like R-rated movies and stuff.
Well, back then, R-rated movies were what PG movies are now.
I don't know. No, I think, you know, I'd PG movies back then would be R-rated now because, like,
you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my son and I were watching, like, a PG movie a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, there's so many titties and everything else in it, and, you know, no, all that, that'd be an R now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. You know, so, anyway, but yeah, Frank Langella's in this, and he's in fact the guy who hires Johnny Depp's character.
Right. And, he's playing a character called Balkan.
Yeah, Balkan. And I love Frank Langella. Yeah, is that his name?
Langella.
Yeah, Frank Langella. I love him.
And he is the perfect. He plays the perfect man you love to hate.
Yeah, I mean,
it only takes one conversation for you to start edging toward Corso's side and kind of away from from Balkan's attitude.
But if you're familiar with the Hammer horror films, the late 60s and early 70s and stuff,
anybody our age is familiar with those.
Yeah, and if you like those kind of movies, you'll like this film. It's a good movie. I really like it. I've seen it many times.
Not do very well in the box office.
Although it made money.
It did make money.
You called it a bomb, but it made back the money.
It did make money. You know. It made about $20 million. It's
I'd take $20 million.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The budget for the film was $38 million, and it pulled in $58.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's another funny thing about this movie. When they were casting the characters, they contacted Johnny Depp about taking the role of Corso.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Johnny Depp had a standing contract, $10 million per movie. That's standard for him.
Right.
In 1999, I don't even want to know what he's pulling in now. But standard in 1999 was $10 million. He got the script, he learned who was directing the movie, and they told him, we can't. The budget's just not that. It's not there. So,
right.
You know, we appreciate you taking the time, but Johnny's like, look, I'll tell you what. He actually waived his $10 million fee just for the chance to work with Polanski.
Yeah, I mean, Roman Polanski is, I mean, obviously a famous filmmaker and so forth.
Well, the fact that I knew who he was, and I don't know producers and directors, I just don't. It's not something I'm interested in usually.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know, but I know that name.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, we mentioned that you and I, when we were discussing about the show, of course, you know, we have to kind of at least bring up the fact that...
The scenes that were supposedly done in New York...
Yeah.
I actually had to be filmed in Paris because Mr. Polanski still has an outstanding warrant for his arrest due to circumstances in a situation that happened back in 1977.
Yes.
Okay, guys, it was the 70s, okay? Give the man a break. Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, he was accused of raping a 13-year-old.
That's what he was accused of, and yeah. I get it. It's
yeah.
a Now, if this was a serial thing, if this was something that happened all the time,
right,
I could definitely understand. Yeah, I'd be the one. I'd be the first one with the shovel wanting to bury it.
Yeah.
But you know, this happened one time. Like I said, it was the 70s. There was a lot of shade going on.
Right.
Around the whole situation. And I do understand, you know, the law enforcement need to handle this even after all this time.
Right.
But come on.
Yeah. You know, Polanski also did, of course he did the piano, which won like all kind of Academy Awards. He did a really classic version of Macbeth, the 1971 version. And he also did Chinatown.
Never heard of that one.
Oh, Chinatown, yes, the classic with Jack Nicholson.
What's really funny is Roman Polanski is known for his satanic films. Guess how many satanic films he's done?
Probably just two.
Two?
Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby in, I believe it was 1967, if my memory is not failing me.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that. But yeah, Rosemary's Baby, and then this one in 1999. But yeah, that's what he's known for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just odd. Like I said, I did find a couple of interviews with Polanski that help explain a little bit, because the movie is very well done, but there are a lot of unanswered questions. And that's the way it was supposed to be. Me,
right.
I'm sorry, I don't want to have to think when I'm watching a movie. I want someone to tell me what's going on. You know, right. It's not that I hate being left wondering. Because no matter what I think of, I don't know if I'm right or not. There's no way to tell.
And see, the ambiguity doesn't bother me.
Well, see, it does me. But a lot of people like it. I don't like books that are that way, and
yeah.
I don't like movies that are that way. So that kind of bugs me a bit. But some of the unanswered questions.
Mm-hmm.
What happens after he walks through the night gate? Who's the woman that he keeps running into? There are several.
Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't bother me. I mean, when he walks through the gate, I assume he's going into hell and he's probably going to be damned forever, but he'll answer the questions that he has, you know.
Well, here's the thing. I said there were riddles throughout the book.
Right.
Each riddle, you have to solve each riddle to open that gate.
Mm-hmm.
But all nine riddles as a whole make up the last riddle, which you have to solve before the book will work for you.
Right.
In the very beginning of the movie, the book is referenced to bring Satan to Earth.
Right.
To raise Satan, as you would raise a spirit. However, that is not the case. This is not what this book is designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The riddle being, you have to get past that. The book is not about bringing Satan to you. The book is about granting you access to and from the Shadow Kingdom. So you can get to the Shadow Kingdom, not easily, but you can get there.
Right.
Now, coming back, that's an entirely different thing. So
right.
The book allows two-way access to the Shadow Realm. So that's the major riddle that has to be solved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go into details. It's worth watching the movie just to hear the details. But that's one of the big things.
I will say this, that there is a sex scene in the film, Johnny and this lady.
Yeah.
And you know, there's parts of it, it's okay, it's kind of hot. But afterwards, I just think it's hilarious because I appreciate this about Johnny Depp is that he's never afraid to, like, make himself look silly.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because, like, afterwards, you know, he's, like, walking around the room, and he's basically got his pants around his ankles.
Right.
You know, and he hasn't taken, you know, either taken pants off.
That's the very beginning. That's with Telfer's wife.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's when she bashes him in the head with a wine bottle. Yeah. Don't fuck with me. I thought I just did.
But, yeah, the whole, yeah.
Great line.
Yeah, just seeing him kind of, you know, wander around like that, I mean, it's so silly. And, you know, it's surprising because, you know, you'd think, you know, he's such a, you know, sexy guy, a sex symbol, you know, that he wouldn't want to look.
The man could be sexy in a potato sack, though.
Well, probably.
I was going to say probably. He could be sexy with his hands tied behind his back, but we're not going there.
There you go. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a great film.
It certainly is. It's absolutely amazing. And just, Johnny puts a little bit of himself in every character he plays. He's made the comment several times that if it's not a character that he can identify with, he won't play that character.
Right.
Because acting is just that. If you're not putting part of yourself into that acting, you're just lying. And that's how he sees it. So he will not play a character that he cannot identify with. But the interview with Polanski, he explains that the girl is actually, quote, the whore of Babylon.
Right.
The whore of Babylon not being an actual real person when Babylon was, before it was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens often called it Queen Babylon.
Okay.
Almost as if it was its own entity.
Okay.
That's where the Whore of Babylon comes from. But she essentially works for Satan and embodies everything that Babylon did. You know, the lust, the greed, the avarice, the... Just the earthly pleasures instead of spiritual ones. That is what she is there for.
Right.
I've seen different discussion groups where, you know, is she Satan itself? Is she, you know, is she like a fallen angel? Is she...
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of her as actually being Satan.
Oh, yeah. Bedazzled wasn't the first one to think about having Satan as a woman.
Right, you're right, right.
But yeah, there's quite a bit of discussion about, you know, what, but from the writer, co-writer and director's mouth, she represents the Whore of Babylon.
Okay.
She is also there to make sure that Depp does not die.
Okay.
To make sure that that Balkan doesn't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And to make sure that he continues, because what he finds out is that the engravings of the books, he sees all three books. In each one of the three books, which is, this is another riddle that you have to solve.
Right.
Three of the engravings are authentic. The other six are not.
Mm.
So, and there's differences.
Right.
But it's very philosophical how you have to, because he went on to explain in depth, like the one engraving where on the fake one, it's the castle has four towers.
Right.
And on the real one, it has three. Mm-hmm. Well, four is an earthly trait. You have four limbs. There are four directions. You've got, yeah. It's a matter of equality, okay? However, spiritually, the number three is most important.
Okay.
So that's, you know, if you think that way, then the engraving with the three towers is the correct one. But you really, I mean, all this goes by within seconds in the movie.
Right.
But however, if you actually had to sit down and
you know, it did always feel kind of like it almost, and I guess there's not one, but it feels like there should be like a director's cut of the film. It just feels like there would be more that, you know, they were filming.
Like it seems, but the thing is he didn't want to explain.
Oh, yeah, of course not, yeah.
But, yeah, people like me, I would have loved a, you know, even a voiceover where, you know, the director talks over the movie and tells you what's going on.
Yeah.
That would have been great. But he also explains that you don't see it right away, but the more likable Corso gets, the more evil he becomes. The engravings are, I don't want to say possessing him, because that's not really how it works.
Yeah.
But the idea has possessed him.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the very beginning of the movie, he makes it quite clear that money is his god, that there's not a whole lot he won't do.
Yeah.
If he's paid the right amount. At one point, Balkan even looks at him and says, "You don't like me, do you?" And Corso says, "I don't have to like you. You're a client and you pay well."
Yeah.
To which Balkan replies, "I love the loyalty that can be bought for cold hard cash."
Yeah.
So, you know, he makes it clear at the very beginning that, that he's all about the physical. He's all about the money and the women. And, you know, he's met this woman one other time in his life. She walks into his hotel, into his apartment, and he fucks the shit out of her.
Right.
You know, that's just, you know, you gotta think there's alternate reasons for this. But, you know, hey, all I can say is, man, sometimes the big head don't work when the little one starts, so.
Right. I was gonna ask you something.
That's why I keep a notebook. Write it down.
Yeah, now something you had said made me think of something, but now it's kind of rattled around in my brain. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Oh, but the ending, when Corso just, and what I didn't like is he just walks through the door and the movie ends.
Yes.
Just.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, but when you're dealing with something like that, though, I mean, what could they have done that would have been satisfying to everyone? I mean, if you see him,
I don't know, maybe a demonic laugh or, you know.
Well, yeah, something. I mean, if you show him, like, strung up Hellraiser style, then some people are going to be unhappy with that. If you show him, you know, oh, there is no hell.
Or being buddy with Satan.
Right, you know, I mean, it's almost like at this point, it's better to just let your mind fill it in.
Polanski actually made the comment that, I got to get this right, because it was intense. Okay. He says, this is where I heard the comment that, and actually agreed with, that the more affable that Corso gets, truly the more evil he becomes. Until he finally, with the mystery woman's help, learns the secret of the ninth gate.
Mm-hmm.
Balkan attempts to perform the ceremony, and to prove that he is Satan's chosen, he sets himself on fire.
Right.
And it works for about 15 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It works at first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's welcome to hell with no return trip. Well, of course, I finds out one of the engravings that Balkan used is forgery.
Mm-hmm.
Very good forgery, but a forgery nonetheless. And in finding this out, he also figures out that if you look at the doorways, if you look at the path, you have to do this riddle and then this one. It's a path. It's a, you know, it's a series of steps.
Right.
And the first gate literally tells you to play by the rules or it's not gonna work.
Right.
But, and that's one reason Corso is able to walk through the ninth gate without hindrance, is because he did play by the rules. Balkan did not. Rules are beneath him. He is rich enough, powerful enough, and evil enough that he can do what he wants, when he wants to do it, and there is nothing on this earth that is going to stop him. However, Satan is not on this earth. Enough said. Satan right. puts Kibosh on that shit real quick. But Blansky says that once he solves the riddle of the ninth gate, the doors open wide and Corso is welcomed home. Mm.
Yeah, okay. So. You know, speaking of the girl, this is what I was going to mention to you.
Right.
You know, of course, you know, after Corso and her have sex.
Right, that's at the very end.
Right at the very end.
With the castle burning behind.
Yes, yes. But after that, you know, Corso basically goes back to that bookstore where the mm-hmm. brothers were.
Right.
And at that point is when he finds the authentic engraving.
Yes.
Which depicts a woman who looks like the girl. Riding on top of a dragon.
Riding a dragon.
In front of the burning castle.
Yes.
And I think, yes, what you have just read, I think now it makes sense to me because she is riding Depp in the sex
yep.
scene with the burning castle behind them.
It doesn't take and so, a whole lot yeah. if you pay attention.
So Depp is the dragon. So Depp is Satan.
Depp is Satan's son.
The son of Satan.
Now, this was
why would he not be Satan?
This was not
right.
Said by Polanski. This is my own personal opinion.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it makes sense.
But to me, you know. That is Satan's son because he is welcomed home.
Okay.
And if there's no way Satan would allow himself to be put on this earth with absolutely no memory and no idea mm-hmm. of who he is and what he's doing there.
Right.
Yeah, no. Okay. That's not going to happen.
So who is the girl? Is she just an acolyte? Or is she the mother of the son of Satan?
Yeah, let's not go there. We had enough incest in the last one.
But, you know, it's Satan, so, you know.
Essentially, what Roman had said was you should look at her as... Yeah, the Whore of Babylon.
Yeah.
Satan's right hand.
Okay, so she's just like a servant of Satan.
A bit more than that. Yeah. She's like Satan's most trusted
Satan's servant. Concubine or something.
Just his most trusted servant. He, yeah. you know, that is the reason she is there, is so he doesn't have to come himself.
To put it in South Park terms, she's his bottom bitch.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But at the same time, you know, she does reap the benefits.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sure she's, yeah.
You know, she's definitely, yeah.
So, you know, he is a book dealer, a book collector.
Is a book dealer. He yeah. does not collect them.
But I think it's hilarious, and we've mentioned this every time we watch the movie, casually they treat these books.
That were supposedly written in 1766.
Yeah, or any of
1666.
Yeah, it's like they have a copy of, you know, a Man from La Mancha or something. I forget what it was.
Right.
But, you know.
The Don Quixote.
Yeah, Don Quixote, that's it.
Oh, my God, you do not just open that with your bare hands and just, lay it flat.
Yes,
on
they're
the
just
table.
Crutching it with bare hands and everything. And it's like, no, I've been in enough. Because in a previous lifetime, I was a librarian. And, you know, we sometimes would deal with rare books and stuff.
You need
you would take much more precautions.
No, you need to let people know. We're not really talking about a previous lifetime, guys.
No, it's a previous career, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just hilarious to see how casually they're just open.
I know.
They're flipping through the pages. They just, like, drop it on a desk.
I know.
And it's like, come on.
Takes four book set of Don Quixote.
Yeah.
And just shoves it in his bag.
Yeah.
No! Now, however, when he transports the ninth gate,
right?
He actually does wrap it in linen, and if you watch carefully, the edges of the linen line up with the pentagram that's embossed on the cover of the book, which is another problem. If you know anything about paganism, if you know anything about the pentagram, any idea about this being associated with evil and Satan, is these books were said to be written in 1666, and everything was original. Original covers, original bindings, original pages, everything. It was completely 100% authentic. Now, the pentagram did not start being associated with evil and with Satan until the late 19th century. So, in real life, we'll say, there's no way that a self-proclaimed Satanist would emboss a, at the time, godly symbol on his book.
Although, let's give him some credit. A true servant of Satan may have heard from the Dark Lord that eventually this will be identified with me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can really go.
You can make it fit.
But the thing about it is that's one good thing about this movie, is it gives you that wiggle room. You know, you can come up with all kinds of, explanations and such for the different behaviors and the different inconsistencies.
Yeah.
The thing is, like I said, this book really does not exist. The pentagram was put on there for our viewing pleasure and to make it readily identifiable when it came on the screen.
And these kind of horror films they're not really meant to be analyzed.
No.
As much as we're analyzing this one.
No.
It's just meant to be, it's very pulpy. You know, in the way that it's handled. And I think that's fine. I mean, I like...
Oh, absolutely.
It's an escapist horror film, and that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much.
It is. I mean, it's just a fun time.
I think it's fun, yeah.
It's a roller coaster without ever leaving your chair. Yeah. But the attention to detail is amazing. The cigarettes, because this is back when you could still show people smoking on screen. I don't think Corso smokes in on screen.
I don't recall it.
I don't, but I know Telfair's wife does. And the brand of cigarettes that she smokes, guess what they're called?
What?
Black Devils.
Really?
She did not like them. She said they tasted disgusting. Mm-hmm. They were worse than Turkish. She hated them, but those were the only cigarettes that Pulaski allowed on his screen.
Huh.
Black Devils.
I never noticed.
I
mean, does the label, is it seen in the movie? Okay.
No, it's
all right, so you wouldn't know unless you just...
It's just an insider thing.
Okay,
it's that little attention to detail.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking, man, how did I miss that? All right. All right.
let's see. Oh, one of the best quotes in the movie is, Corso's finally starting to believe that, this is a real thing, and that the Nine Gates actually exist, and that Lucifer was the co-author of this book, and was the artist who drew the engravings, and, the possibility was there that he might be onto something fundamentally larger than money.
Right.
In one of the discussions he's having with, I believe it's the mystery woman, the comment he makes is, even hell has its heroes.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, I like that. That's great.
Yeah, and for some reason that quote reminds me, several years ago when people were talking about, Johnny Depp possibly joining the MCU.
Right.
I always thought that he would have made a really interesting Ghost Rider. Because, of course, they made some Ghost Rider movies with Nicolas Cage.
Who is the man who got Johnny Depp into acting to begin with.
Yes, yes. But I just always thought that Johnny would... I mean, can you imagine him on the motorcycle with the leather jacket, the kind of longish hair, the angst-ridden thing
I
as he's transformed?
I actually have that physical picture.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Did I tell you? This is off track of the movie, but it does concern Johnny Depp, so... couple of things. Johnny Depp won an amazing victory this week.
Yes.
Amber Heard has been forced to turn over her phone and her files for Johnny Depp's libel case. So, yay, go team.
Yeah, because...
Congratulations, Johnny.
Johnny has always said that some of the...
no, not some.
Well, all. That all the photos she released showing her her black eye and so forth, that they had been doctored.
It was makeup.
Yeah, and
it
so...
It was makeup.
He's hoping to find the original photos.
Girl, this is what gets me. She attempted to play the victim using makeup to make herself look abused.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Johnny was doubling his makeup so that people wouldn't know he was abused. But
right.
You can still see it. I could show you pictures right now. I have in that folder right there. You can see the bruises. You can see the black eyes. She cut the tip of his finger off. We are not even going there because you do not want to get me arrested today.
Well, and they have recordings of her saying, I hit you.
That wasn't a real punch.
Yeah, you're a baby.
Look, if your skin came in contact with his in a violent manner, bitch, that's assault.
Yeah. But she says that she hit him and that he's a baby. And
well, it
stuff,
was kind of a slap. It wasn't really a hit.
Yeah. And she says that I can't promise not to hit you again.
I know.
Sometimes I lose it.
And then she wants to play the victim. I'm sorry, a friend of mine down in Florida got arrested for assault for tossing the water out of a cup into her husband's face.
Yeah.
That is assault. That is jail time. And she's going to admit that she hit him. And... I can't promise you I won't do it again. I can tell you how you can promise me you won't do it again, but we're not going there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Johnny, if you ever hear this, man, we're behind you 100%. We love you. We believe you. We know you're telling the truth. And congratulations, man. It's about damn time.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, some good will come out of this. They can find the evidence and so forth.
Well, after everything that she has done... My fingers are crossed, just major,
well,
hoping against hope that when they finally prove that Johnny was telling the truth, that she faces jail time, at the very least.
I doubt she will, but I imagine...
At this moment, she is still victim's advocate for, I believe it's CoverGirl.
Yeah.
CoverGirl or Maybelline or...
She probably won't do any jail time, but I imagine she'd have a hefty... legal fees to pay because he could sue her for losing all the money he lost for.
Million.
Well, he could sue her for more than that.
He lost
the Grindelwald role. That alone is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
You know, J.K. Rowling has her faults and she has her failings.
Oh, she has so many damn failings.
But J.K. Rowling went to the mat trying to keep Johnny in that role.
Yeah.
It was, she did. She fought and went public with, we don't believe it. I don't believe it. We are happy with him playing Grindelwald, and we want him to continue. She was very vocal in her support. And the studio, the same studio that produces Animaniacs, which is the most irreverent. And yes, it's funny as hell. It's great. It makes the money, right?
Right.
That's why they do it, right? No, they decided to make a political statement with Johnny, and that just creeps under my skin. It's not right. Johnny he lost out on so much that he could have done.
Mm-hmm.
And... then you've got sorry, Jason, idiots like Jason Momoa standing up and saying, well, if you fire Amber Heard off of Aquaman 2, I'm leaving as well. Okay, Jason, a little bit of advice. Get your eyes off her tits. Start thinking with the big head. And support your brother. Come on, man.
All right, you're getting riled up. So we should probably move on to the the next thing.
Yeah, it heats me up. It makes me mad. I having been an abuse victim myself, knowing just how devastating that can be and just how hard it is to get over and even just to act almost normal after something like that is difficult, to say the least. And to have someone fake it for money, for fame, for a name, mm-hmm. to ruin somebody's, you know, career, to I don't know what her purpose behind this was, but it wouldn't matter if it was Johnny Depp in that seat, or if it was you, or if it was the bully that picked on me in high school that I absolutely cannot stand. I would feel the same way. It's not right. It's not cool. It's just despicable. There's not a whole lot lower you can go.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do get extremely heated up when that subject comes up. So that is why we don't talk about that much here, but I just had to send the shout out and congratulations for that
that one legal victory.
Small victory.
Yes.
So
you have more pictures of Johnny Depp than Pinterest.
Yes, I have more images of Johnny Depp than Pinterest does. I have every image that is on Pinterest, as well as, I would probably guesstimate another 300 that are not. I have, my collection reaches well over 1,500 images, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm slowly getting them printed out, a little bit at a time. I've got my photo albums that I print. Yeah, I print them out and I throw them in my photo album, and that way I have quick reference at my fingertips, because a lot of times, trying to think of like a particular movie or a particular character.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the image, it can, it can help you jar your memory. It's not the only reason I have them, but
because I'm always like, why do you need them printed out? And you're like, I use these all the time. And I'm like, how do you use a picture? But yeah,
don't go south. Do not go south, Barry. We have the internet for that.
Yes.
But no, it's just like there are certain time periods, post 21 Jump Street, Edward Scissorhands era. It's just, it interests me greatly to be able to see what he looked like then, and as opposed to now. I've got several morphs, well, not morphs, but photoshopped images,
mm-hmm.
that are his younger self and his older self together. Those I really like. There's not a whole lot of change. I want to know what the man does. Him, Cher, we named off like 6 or 8 Hollywood stars. I swear to God, Hollywood Vampires is real, man. These guys are immortal.
Yeah.
They just don't age. It's insane. I mean, he was 27 playing a 17, 18-year-old.
Yeah.
He was damn near 40 playing a 20-year-old. The man is just, it's probably due to his Native American heritage, but he does age. He has been aging extremely gracefully.
Yeah.
So, I found a little thing that was interesting. It's not about the movie, but it's a piece of Johnny trivia.
Oh, yeah?
Why, and it doesn't, the quote did not name the movie. I'm assuming it was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm assuming.
Okay.
They were filming in Wisconsin, and Johnny met this little 12-year-old boy, you know, just random. They exchanged a few words. The kid told Johnny he liked his hat. So Johnny says, "Hey, when we're done filming, I'll make sure you get it." Kid's like, "Okay, cool." Of course, he's thinking, "Yeah, right."
Right.
You know, this guy's got way more to think about than me. So true to his word, after filming, he boxed up the hat along with a bunch of memorabilia from the film, sent it to the kid, sent him a handwritten note telling him he hoped he enjoyed everything, and it was great meeting him.
Wow.
You see, that's the kind of guy this man is. He also, another little story, he also showed up at this little girl's school, unannounced, out of the blue, in full Jack Sparrow regalia, because one of the girls at the school had written him a letter asking him to help organize a mutiny against her teacher. So he did.
Okay. So he helped with the mutiny.
He did. He helped with the mutiny.
So I was going to say, you had a lot of people you wanted to give shout-outs to this week, right?
I do. And I just want to say, guys, I hope you're listening. Your TikToks, between the images, the music, the feel behind them, and the fact that you answer me whenever I, pose a question to you. You know, it's an inspiration to me. I want to let people know who you are. Johnny Depp. Slideshows. You can all give thanks to Venom Runs Deep. It's Venom_Runs_Deep. Find them on TikTok. She does amazing work. Music matching the slides perfectly. I still don't know how you guys do it. I've seen several of you that do it. I've made comments about it, but I don't have an artistic bone in my body, so forget that. But Your TikToks keep me going. Whenever I'm having a bad day, all I got to do is click, and y'all make me feel better. So shout out to you. I also want to give a shout out to my Tom Hiddleston, both Tom Hiddleston and Loki TikTokers. Sometimes they're one and the same. Sometimes they pick a side. But either way, they're all good. I've got Tom Hiddleston's Little P, all one word. Okay, you want to find
his Little P.
Tom Hiddleston's Little P, P-E-A.
Okay.
It's a Hiddleston thing. Also, Scarlett with two T's, VW, X_Loki, A-M-A-T-T-Y. I think it's Amati. Okay. I don't want to mispronounce it, but 0918. A Real Oddball. AREAL_AUDBALL. Guys, thank you so much. You guys, can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all and everything that you do. There are many, many more. Unfortunately, I have not heard from them, and I refuse to, to use their names and that type of thing without their consent. Consent is priceless. So, as soon as I hear from them, there'll be more shout outs to come. Guys, if you have a TikTok channel, if you have a YouTube, if you have stories you want to tell, if you've got questions, concerns, or comments, you want to share pictures, send it to me. Let me know. The email address is DeckHeadsAndHiddleStoners, all one word, no cap, @yahoo.com.
Yes.
So, tell you what, I'm working on getting either a web page set up, or I'm going to just borrow from probably Instagram. Facebook has pissed me off. Mm. So we'll probably do an Insta page so that we can do, we can share images. And you know, I'd love for you guys to see my tattoos. I got my Loki started. He's probably going to get done next week. We've got the outline. We've just got to get the shading and the color done. I've got my Johnny Depp tattoo. I've got, like I said, I've got over 1,500 images. Separate images. I'm not talking about, you know, multiples of the same picture or the same pose. No.
Yeah.
And I'm working on that with Tom Hiddleston. Fortunately, Depp's been at this for 30 years, and Hiddleston just, you know, relatively recently entered the game. So I'm trying, guys. Cut me some slack. Give me some time.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even if, you know, Johnny retires before Hiddleston does,
I hope not.
Then, you know, you'll have Hiddleston still going for quite a while. So, yeah.
Tell you what, yeah. No, Johnny, you cannot retire, man. We need you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, guys, telling you. And hey, you guys want me to give a shout out to your buds? Somebody on TikTok or Instagram, or, you know, an author. I'm going to do a Wattpad episode eventually. As soon as I can get enough material that I can actually share. but yeah, Wattpad has become my second best friend. TikTok is still my first. But yeah, Wattpad, TikTok, Google search. And
so Johnny hasn't posted anything on TikTok in a long time, right?
No.
Because he was doing those cute little videos
He did several right at the start of the lockdown.
Right.
But then, of course, all this court shit hit the fan, and,
yeah.
You know, it's just, I can imagine, number one, he really doesn't have the time, and, you know, the man is an introvert, he really doesn't like crowds, he doesn't, you know, it's cool enough that he makes himself deal with his fans, and does it so well.
Right.
You know, he's always up for a handshake or a hug, an autograph. Hey, how you doing? Thanks. You know, to sit there and listen to you gush all over him about just how wonderful he is and how great he is and how important he is to you. He's heard it 90,000 times.
Right.
But he makes you think that you're the first one to tell him. He's an amazing man, but you know, there's no way that he's going to be able to deal with probably the inundation of messages. I'm surprised he still has his message option turned on.
Yeah.
On his Facebook, his TikTok, his Instagram, and his Twitter. Because if I was him, I'd have turned it off. Mm. But, you know, cut the man some slack. He's doing what he can, and you know, we're going to be here for him, just like he's been on that screen for us since, what was the... 1993, I believe.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, he's been acting since 1980 something.
Right, I meant big screen.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
His first role was Platoon, and I think that was 1989.
Yeah.
But I was thinking Edward Scissorhands, which I believe was 1990.
Well, no, it was before that. He was doing, you know, he did, you know, Nightmare back in like 84.
Was it that? Yeah, you're right. It was.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, he's been rocking that screen for us
for a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
Coming up on 30 years or 40. Coming up on 40.
Yeah,
years.
You keep forgetting.
I
how old we are.
We're not gonna discuss my age. Your birthday is tomorrow.
Yes.
By the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So yeah, we can talk about your age. I don't have birthdays anymore.
Yeah, I'll be 49 tomorrow.
No, I don't have birthdays. I have anniversaries of my 21st birthday.
There you go. Well, you turned 29.95.
Huh?
I said you'll be turning 29.95.
You mean okay. I'm gonna be on sale. There you go.
So this is actually our longest episode. Hopefully, you know, you guys enjoyed it. You know, get in touch with us with any feedback. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. You know, if you find something annoying.
Yeah, and
you
know, if we can get this thing rolling, if we can get this thing going, oh yeah, I did want to announce that we will have a Loki, I don't want to say Loki impersonator, because that's not really what he does. He
like
does,
a cosplayer?
He's cosplay.
Yeah.
But he's known all across the U.S. I know him through a friend of a friend. And when this friend was like, oh, man, I've got this, you know, I've got this guy that does Loki. And he does cosplay. He'll hire out to parties and that kind of thing. And he's like, I'd love for you to meet him. And he shows me a picture. I'm like, oh, my God, I know him. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen him on. He's got, as a matter of fact, a couple of my Wattpad stories, I believe, have him on the cover. So, yeah, so we're going to have him sometime around December. We're going to have him in the studio with us, let him go through, you know, how it is being Loki. I'm actually considering getting a second phone line that we'll turn on just for our podcast. So, you know, if you guys want to call in at a certain time on a certain day, ask questions, be on the podcast, give your shout outs, you know, pay your tribute, tell these guys how much you love them. We might be able to do that. So I'm looking into that to see, you know, how far we can go with that one. Keep in mind, our Insta page will probably be up within the next week. So, you know, come on. Send us friend requests. Join the club. Join the group. Show your support.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be back next week with a Tom Hiddleston episode. Do we know the movie? Or what the topic?
I'm debating.
Okay, so we don't know.
I'm really not sure. Oh, Tom Hiddleston trivia. I gotta say it. Last week, we discussed just how quickly Tom will take his pants off. It's a good thing. We all love it. Guess who else loves it?
Everybody.
Everybody in Britain. Tom Hiddleston in 2014, I want to say. 2016, I'm sorry. Was awarded Rear of the Year. From one of the things in Britain. It's one of their little humorous awards they give out. So he definitely knows he's got a fine ass. And we have no problem, you know, agreeing with him.
There you go. All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end.
Unfortunately. Yes.
Hiddleston's end.
It's the ass end of it.
Yes. All right. We'll be back next week, guys. See you then.
Thanks a lot for listening. Have a great week.